Morning. Read again the same Gemara we read yesterday. First, Tzadi Bet Amud Bet, page Ayin in the Ein Yaakov Mvor, Tana Rabbanan. V'sh'ashi pil Nebuchadnezzar et Hananiah Mishael Azariah l'shkif shana esh. When Nebuchadnezzar threw Hananiah Mishael Azariah into the furnace, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Yechezkel, Hashem said Yechezkel, Lech v'chayim etim v'vigat dura, go. Revive the dead in the valley of Dura. Kevan shechaya otam ba'u atzmot v'tavchulo lo torasha shchik tam yalpanav. Once Yechezkel had revived them, they came and slapped that rasha, may his bones be ground up, on his face. Amar, he said, Mativan shel'elu, said, who are these people? What's the nature of these people? Amrulo chavrehem shel elu mechayim etim v'gat dura. So he was told that the friends of these people, of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, meaning Yechezkel, has revived the dead in v'gat dura. Patach v'amar, Nebuchadnezzar opened up and said, Pasuk in Daniel, Gimel Lam Gimel, Atohi kamaravarin, his signs, how many they are, v'tim hohi kamatakifin, and his wonders, how powerful they are, Mahute Mahut Alam Begomer. His kingdom is a kingdom forever, and so on. Am Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yitzchak Zahav Rotech L'toch Piv. May boiling gold be poured into his mouth. Shal Torah Shash Chiktam Yav. That Rasha, Nebuchadnezzar, may his bones be ground up. As we said yesterday, it's like Yimach Shemo. Shil Malei Lo Ba Malach V'Sitaro. If Malach had not come and slapped him, Al Piv, on his lips, on his mouth, he would have put to shame all of the praises of the songs and praises that David said in Sefer Tehillim. That is one Gemara about Nebuchadnezzar. If you would please turn to the green bookmark, which is on Daf Tzadi Vav Amun Aleph. In the Ein Yaakov Mvoar on page Kuf Ayin Dalet. So if you look on the right-hand side, the third line, it's in the middle of something else, which we'll get to. But it says that Hashem is speaking. He says, "Uma bischar arba psiat shishilam filoto rasha." If I paid that rasha so much for four steps that he took. And there's another Girsa in the Medrash, and it's three steps. So you sometimes see a reference to four, sometimes to three. Sharatza Harkvodi Atatame, and he ran for my honor, and you wonder why his reward was so great. Kishanim Shalem Scharla Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Sharatzulfanai Kesusim Alach Kama Vakama. When I pay reward Avram Yitzchak Yaakov who ran before me like horses. How much greater their reward will be. Brings a pasuk which is relevant to the discussion there. Gemara then continues, Hani arba psiot maihi. What is this reference to four steps? And who's the Russia we're talking about? As we'll see momentarily. It's about Nebuchadnezzar. So what is this, what's the story here? Tichtiv, because it says in Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Bet, Baitahi Shalach Merodach Bladan ben Baladan ben Baladan Melch Bavel Sarimu Michal Yechizkiyahu. At that time, Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Bavel, sent books, meaning letters, and a gift to Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda. Kishamaki Chalach Chizkiyahu. He heard that Chizkiyahu was sick. So the Gemara asks, "Mishum deshemaki chalach Chizkiyahu shadar leisvarim u'micha?" Because he heard that Chizkiyahu was sick, he sent him svarim and a gift. And the Gemara says, "In lidrosh hamofet asher haya va'aretz damar Rabbi Yochanan oto ayom shemet bo achaz shtei shaot haya v'chi chalach Chizkiyahu itpach adrinu kud shabrichu lahanach asar shai nihalei tichtiv ni meshiv. Et sel hamalot asher dav malot achaz v'shemesh acharnit eser malot v'tasha v'shemesh eser malot malot asher yada. On the day that Chizkiyah died, Hashem made the sun go backwards 10 hours. We'll talk about that when we get to this Gemara. Amar lahu mai hai, and Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, said, "What's going on here?" Amrule, they told him, Chizkiah Chalashit, but Chizkiah got sick and got better. Amar, Ika Gavra Kihai, Velo Ba'enel Shidur Le Shlama. So Merodach Baladan said, "There's such a person, and I shouldn't send him greetings." So that's why he sent him greetings. And again, as far as the details of the miracle that happened, that's a discussion for another time. Ketavule.
I was in between about him dying. He sent the gifts before.
We'll talk about Chizkiah. We'll talk about when we get to this Gemara. Right now, I want to get to a specific point here that has to do with Nebuchadnezzar. Ketavule. So they wrote to him, to Chizkiah, Shlama Lamalka Chizkiah, peace to King Chizkiah, Shlam Lakarta Yerushalayim, peace to the city of Yerushalayim, Shlam Le'elaha Rabba, and peace to the great God. Nebuchadnezzar Safri de Baladan Hame. Nebuchadnezzar was the scribe of Baladan. Ahishata lo have hatam. But at that particular moment, he wasn't there. He had stepped out. Atta Amar Lahu, it was his day off. He came and he said to them, Hechi Kativtu, what did you write? Amrule Hachi Kadvinan. They said, this is what we wrote. Greetings to Chizkiah, greetings to Shalaim, greetings to the great God. Amar Lahu, Karitule Elakaraba Vekativitule Vasof. You call him the great God and you put him at the end. Amar Le Hechi Katuvu. Amar Elahachi Katuvu. He said, you should have written like this. Shlam l'lakarava, peace to the great God. Shlam l'kartad Yerushalayim, peace to the city of Yerushalayim. Shlam l'malka Chizkiah, peace to the king Chizkiah. Amrule, they said to him, Karyana di garta ilehevi parvanka. The one who writes the letter, he should be the one to carry it out. In other words, you have a great idea, you're in charge. It's my philosophy as president, incidentally. Rahat Patre, so he ran after the mailman who was carrying the letter. Kadrait Arba Psiot Ata Gavriel Vaokme. When Nebuchadnezzar had gone four steps, and as I mentioned in Medrash it says three steps, Gavriel came and stopped the messenger, and that was all Nebuchadnezzar had to go was four steps. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yomalei Lo Ba Gavriel Mehmido Lo Ayata Kanal Sne Israel. If Gavriel had not stopped the messenger so that Nebuchadnezzar could catch up with him in only four steps, Nebuchadnezzar's merit would have been so great that there would be no hope for the Jewish people. That is the Gemara. It seems from the Gemara that this was a tremendous merit for Nebuchadnezzar that he ran four steps for God's honor because God had been mentioned last in the salutation of the letter instead of first.
So he caught it?
Yes.
So it seems like that he would have had to stop the mailman.
Yeah, Gabriel stopped the mailman.
No, I'm saying Gabriel stopped the mailman.
Right. He stopped the mailman so Nebuchadnezzar could catch up with him.
So you can't caught up to him quicker.
Right.
I take that back. There are two ways to learn it. The Ben Yoyada actually learns that Gavriel stopped Nebuchadnezzar, and they had to send a different mailman, a different shliach to catch the mailman. That's how Ben Yoyada learns. What I want to share with you today is two very different approaches to viewing Nebuchadnezzar's action of running after the mailman and the connection to our Gemara of Nebuchadnezzar being on a level to sing praises of Hashem that would have put to shame the Tehillim of David Melach. So one is from the Altar of Slabodka, Nassim Tzvi Finkel, and the second from Rav Dessler. So the Altar of Slabodka in Or Hatzafun, Chelek Gimel, page Ayin Vav, is a piece called Hafichat Derech Eretz LeDerech Shemaim. Turning Derech Eretz into the way of the, Derech Eretz literally means the way of the world, earth, into Derech Shemaim, the way of the heaven. So he says that most people have manners when they're interacting with each other, and it's and how to walk, how to sit, how to act, how to eat, how to talk, how to sleep. There are conventions for all of these things, and most people don't seem to have too much trouble following them, taken for granted. And everybody follows them. Nobody complains. Not nobody, but most people. And as if it's not a very big burden, doesn't require a lot of effort. When it comes to the so to speak conventions of the Torah, all of a sudden it's a big burden on people, and people do complain. And he says it should be just the opposite. Derech Eretz makes a lot of demands on us to act just a certain way in public, around other people, and we shouldn't be taking it for granted. We should see it as hard work and question why is it so. Whereas if a person follows Torah and mitzvos, Shem Shamayim, he would feel spiritually uplifted in such a way that he wouldn't feel any burden from keeping the Torah and the mitzvos. It would just flow naturally to him. And he then goes on and talks about the if you think about it, part of Derech Eretz, one of the ways of the world in the broader sense, is the need to eat, and all the conventions and the activities associated with eating. You know, chew. Our grandmothers or great aunts or somebody all told us chew before you swallow. No, that's a lot of work, and it's something that should turn a person off if you really think about it. And that's why on Yom Kippur, which is a very spiritual day, we don't eat. Yet, after Yom Kippur, we have an 8-day holiday. When Chutz La'aretz, a 9-day holiday. This is all about eating. And so you see that Derech Eretz can be elevated to Derech Shamayim. That's a summary of section Aleph of this Shmuz. He then says that Derech Eretz itself can become Derech Shamayim if a person has a proper kavana. And he brings our Gemara, where Nebuchadnezzar said, not Derech Eretz, the Gemara we just read on Daf Tzadivav. Says, what do you mean you wrote, dear Chizkiah, people of Yerushalayim, and God? You have to put God first. It's not Derech Eretz any other way. And he ran after the shliach, and his girsa seemed to have been 3 steps. And Hashem says, the Medr says that Hashem said, because of that, I'm going to give him 3 generations of kings. Nebuchadnezzar himself, and his son Evil Merodach, and his grandson Belshazzar, 3 generations of kings as reward for the 3 steps that he took. So the altar continues that Midrashim and Gemaras discuss at great lengths how evil and repugnant Nebuchadnezzar was. Things we know, there's a Chazal that describes how he ate live rabbits, and there's Chazals that describe even more repugnant things Nebuchadnezzar did. And you can look in Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Mem Tet, Mem Bet, for more details. And yet, that we see that he rose to great spiritual levels, to the point that, as we learned in the first Gemara on Daf Tzadi Bet, he was nearly able to, or if he hadn't been stopped, he would have sung praises of Hashem that would have put Tehillim to shame. So the altar is learning that what Nebuchadnezzar did was because of a genuine understanding of Derech Eretz, of what's proper behavior, and that act brought Nebuchadnezzar to great spiritual heights. He says that Nebuchadnezzar reached the level of greatest pleasure that a person could reach, in terms of the extent of his kingdom, in terms of his spiritual level. So why did he merit all of this? Because of those three, or according to our Gemara, four steps that he took for Hashem's honor. He said, so the altar says, well, what's the big deal? That's simple Derech Eretz. It's common sense. Well, what were the people who wrote the letter thinking? Obviously, you would fix such a thing. Nevertheless, Nebuchadnezzar did it l'shem shamayim. He was appalled for God's honor that somebody could write such a thing. And he took those three or four steps, and this raised him to great levels. He goes on and to discuss Derech Eretz, and he says that the Derech Eretz applies not just in worldly activities, even in spiritual activities, even the way someone davens, someone does mitzvos, there's Derech Eretz. Rabbi Reisman told an interesting story in one of his Navi Shurim, that he was walking home from shul with Sephardi rabbi of a shul that is near his shul, and they live in the same direction. They're walking home together, and Rabbi Reisman mentioned that he's trying to teach people in his shul about the importance of kissing the Sefer Torah as it goes by. And halacha says you not only kiss the Sefer Torah, you follow it. It's not well known. You're supposed to follow the Sefer Torah. So the Sephardi rabbi said, that's interesting. I have the opposite problem. I'm trying to teach the people in my shul that when they run after the Sefer Torah, they shouldn't trample each other and create a mob. Just two different approaches, the cold Ashkenazi approach and the very warm Sephardi approach, which is interesting in itself. But the point is that even when you're doing a mitzvah, you can't trample someone else because you're going to do a mitzvah. The Rabbi Yisrael Salanter brought somewhere, let's say, a person's putting on his tallis, so puts it over his head and throws it over his shoulder, and it sits to slap the next guy in the face. That's not the way to do a mitzvah. There are carrots, even when you're doing a mitzvah. So the Altar of Sobotka brings as an example Gemara in Brachos that says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi would be giving shiur. He would start shiur early in the morning, and when it was time for Kriyat Shema, he would cover his eyes and then be mekabel olmach shamayim, accept the yoke of heaven. We all assume, and there are those who learn this way, the reason we cover our eyes is so we won't have distractions when we're trying to focus on accepting the Ol Malchus Shamayim. However, there's a Rishon called the Aruch. Aruch was Rav Nassan of Rome, was a Rishon. And he explains that the reason Rav Yehuda Anasi covered his eyes was because Gemara says that when you say Echad, you're supposed to accept Hashem as the heaven, as the God over the heavens and the earth, the four corners of the earth, the seven heavens. Okay, the Dalet of Echad is the four corners of the earth. The Chet of Echad is the seven heavens plus the earth. and Echa and Aleph is one. Hashem is one over. So the Aruch says that you're supposed to look in all directions as you're saying Echad. I don't recall, I could be mistaken, I don't recall that this is brought in Halacha, but that's what the Aruch says. Rehuda Anasi covered his eyes so that people shouldn't stare at him while his eyes are rolling around inside his skull. It would look weird. Wouldn't be Derech Eretz. Okay. So it's not Derech Eretz on his part to look weird. Okay. Forget about whether it's Derech Eretz for other people to look at him, to stare at him. That's a different story. But on his part, even though he might say, I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing it, you know, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, mind your own business. No. A person has to do mitzvos in a way of Derech Eretz.
Following that shita, you gotta like go look around, so then he's covering his eyes, and he's not doing it anymore.
You can't look at God anyway, and you can't see the whole world. You can't see the four corners of the earth anyway. He's covering his eyes, and behind his hand, he's moving his eyes around. He's as best as he could. He's accepting God. That question doesn't bother me. He can't see the four corners of the earth and the seven heavens anyway. Right? Okay. He then goes on and gives other examples from Tehillim that we say every morning. We say Hallelujah to Hashem min ha'aretz, tanim chol tomot, etc. Chayav chol beima, and then Malchei Eretz chol omim. We start with the creations of the earth, the lowest creations, then the animals, then the people, the kings, and he says it's Derech Eretz to give each one his turn. They were created first, so they deserve to praise Hashem first. Everything in its proper time, in its proper order. That's also Derech Eretz. Then brings another Gemara, which says that the Malachim are not allowed to sing Shira until the Jewish people do, because the Jewish people are greater. So again, Derech Eretz, they have to wait their turn. I was wondering a little bit about this, because Malachim were created before people. But I guess the point here is that Hashem told them they can't sing Shira until we do, so they have to wait for us, or they shouldn't sing Shira until we do, so they have to wait for us, even though they were created first. But in any event, the point of is that there's an order to things, and that even in doing mitzvos, Derech Eretz applies. That's the essence of this piece from the Altar of Slobodka. But again, in terms of the two Gemaras that we read and Nebuchadnezzar, he is learning that Nebuchadnezzar showed true Derech Eretz, L'shem Shamayim, for the sake of heaven. And because of that, despite being the most despicable of human beings, he was raised, he rose to great spiritual levels where he could have praised Hashem in a way that would have put Tehillim to shame had he been allowed to. A very different approach is found in Michtav Eliyahu, Rav Dessler. This is in Chelek Hay of Michtav Eliyahu, page 285. The piece is entitled "Bamez Zochim LeDvarim Gdolim." How does one merit great things? So he says that the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar is well known. He brings the same Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Tet, Amud Bet, that says that all the days of Nebuchadnezzar, there was no laughter in the world. He was so evil, so powerful. He oppressed people so much. Gemara brings examples of how he oppressed the rulers who were under his control. The he says that when Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara says that when Nebuchadnezzar went down to Gehenna, the people in Gehenna were scared. Nebuchadnezzar was so scary and so evil, even after he died, the people in Gehenna were afraid of him. They thought that he had come to oppress them. What was the reward of Nebuchadnezzar for all of his evil? He ruled over the entire known world of the time. How can that be? Doesn't seem right. So he and his descendants ruled. And here he says four generations of his descendants for the four steps that he took. I'm not sure who the fourth is, unless he's counting Vashti, who was Nebuchadnezzar's great-granddaughter. He says not only that, he reached great intellectual levels. And he brings our Gemara regarding Nebuchadnezzar praising Hashem in a way that would have put Tehillim to shame. It says clearly Nebuchadnezzar did not have Ruach HaKodesh and had not attached himself to Hashem, but rather, with his great intellect, he understood what needed to be said in praise of Hashem, the same way that David, or more than David, did with his Ruach HaKodesh. So Rav Dessler attributes, unlike the Alter of Slobodka, who attributes a high spiritual level to Nebuchadnezzar that he reached momentarily, but he reached a high spiritual level. Nebuchadnezzar, the Michtam Eliyahu says, absolutely no way. Rather, he was given great intellect and was just a very smart guy and was able to see what a person should say in praise of Hashem. Okay. Not, it was not, well, we haven't gotten there yet, but yes, he says it was not L'shem Shemayim. You'll see. What was the mitzvah that he did? Ultimately, the bigger picture, what Mechlem Eliyahu wants to talk about is the idea of a Rasha being rewarded in this world for his mitzvos. And so Nebuchadnezzar had this great kingdom as reward for his mitzvos. What were his mitzvos? Turns out he had only one his entire life, one mitzvah, and that mitzvah was running after the sofer, after the messenger, rather, to correct what the sofer had written by putting God last in the list. However, says Michtam Eliyahu, Nebuchadnezzar did not do this L'shem Shemayim. He did this all for his own honor. Nebuchadnezzar was the chief scribe of Merodach Baladan ben Baladan. And if a letter had went out that was worded improperly, everyone would assume that Nebuchadnezzar had done it. 1,000 years later, it would be in the Smithsonian, and people would, the sign would tell us, you know, letter from Rodach Baladan, whose scribe was Nebuchadnezzar. Forever, we would think Nebuchadnezzar wrote this letter. He couldn't allow that to happen. For his own honor, he wanted to stop the messenger. And for that one mitzvah, he received this great reward. For that one mitzvah that wasn't even done L'shem Shemayim, he received this great reward that he ruled over the entire known world for four generations. So Rav Dessler asks, I don't understand, seemingly, how the justice in that, how does that work? He did one mitzvah, not even L'shem Shemayim, and receives such a great reward. So he says that we have to know another principle. Sometimes a Rasha receives reward in this world out of proportion to what he deserves, as because the generation needs it. Hashem needed someone to destroy the Beis Hamikdash and exile the Jews. Hashem, so to speak, needed. Hashem doesn't need anything. Hashem, so to speak, needed someone to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, exile the Jews, and rule over the whole world. He looked around at all the goyim of that time and said, who am I going to pick? There's that one guy who once did this enormous mitzvah, not even L'shem Shemayim. He did it for himself. But it was a great act. It's not a great act that deserves ruling over the whole world and having a dynasty that's going to last 3 or 4 generations. But of all the people out there, he's the most fitting. So I'm going to reward him for that mitzvah that he did, way out of proportion to what he did, because he's going to be my tool to carry out. Because of that mitzvah, I choose him as my tool to carry out my plan.
No other guy had mitzvah equal to that. I mean,
I'm glad you asked. Rav Dessler says that in Nebuchadnezzar's mitzvah, which he did for his own honor, nevertheless, there was a Kiddush Hashem. So, yes, undoubtedly, there were Goyim who did Bikur Cholim. There were Goyim who buried the dead. There were Goyim who may have done. There were Goyim who may have done lots of good things, but Nebuchadnezzar had made a Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, it stood out. From he had done something for his own honor, but that caused honor to Hashem, and for that he stood out. That's what Rav Dessler says.
It seems like there would have been some guy that worked carving out the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay, but that's not a Kiddush Hashem. What's a Kiddush Hashem? Especially if lots of goyim were bringing korbanos to the Beis Hamikdash. I don't know if they were or not. You're making an assumption that they were, but let's say they were.
We have provisions for how they had to do it.
Okay, let's say they were, but if lots of them were doing it, it doesn't stand out. There's anything special. Nebuchadnezzar did something that stands out as something for the honor of Hashem. True, he did it for his own honor,
but we're still talking about.
But
no, we're talking about it.
No, I'm saying this.
Well, no,
at this point in life,
that's not a good proof. We're talking about it because he got this great reward. If his reward had been to win the lottery and fade into oblivion, we wouldn't be talking about it. We're talking about him because he got this great reward. He did something that stood out as bringing honor to Hashem, notwithstanding the fact that he did it for his own honor.
How does this fit in with the sheriff here?
Why?
Well, he was doing it for his own honor. He wasn't doing it for L'shem Shemayim. So then why are you...
No, the it that he did for his own honor was running after the mailman to catch the letter. Right? Part of his reward for that was being given a tremendous intellect. He was given the ability to rule over the entire known world, including having the great intellect to know how to praise Hashem. That's part of his reward. That's how Rav Dessler is learning. Not that praising Hashem was the mitzvah. The mitzvah was running after
the intellect. Not that he had the intellect first, and that's why he had the intellect, so that's why he was able to see that.
That's not. The way Rav Dessler is learning is that he put. It's common sense. It's common sense to put Hashem first. That's common sense. That doesn't require great intellect. That's common sense. And somehow his substitute scribe that day didn't even have common sense. Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a second. That's common sense. And I don't want people saying that I don't have common sense. So I'm going to catch that letter and stop it and fix it. The reward for that was the great success at everything. Military success, success as a king, intellectual success. That was the reward. However, Rav Dessler is saying, the reward was out of proportion to this act that he did for himself, because the way of the world is that Hashem chooses messengers. Hashem looks at the available people and chooses an appropriate messenger and gives him the necessary tools. Rav Dessler says that this is true among Hashem's good messengers also. Sometimes you might see a person who does a tremendous act of chesed, a tremendous kiddush Hashem, a tremendous something, and you might say, he must be a hidden tzaddik. I never knew he was such a great person to do such an act. We won't give examples because we don't know, obviously. However, it would be an incorrect assumption, says Rav Dessler, that just because you see a person doing an amazing act, to come to the conclusion that he must be a hidden great tzaddik or a great Talmud Chacham. Sometimes Hashem has something he wants done in accordance with his plan for the world. He chooses from the available people somebody who has some zuchus, and he gives this person a special power. Rav Dessler says that this is the meaning of the expression we find, Yiftach b'doro kishmo b'doro. In every generation's leaders, we're supposed to view them as being equal. We're not supposed to say, if we only had Rav Moshe Feinstein. You do hear people say that. We're not supposed to say that. This generation, we have our leaders. That generation had its leaders. There was a generation that had Shmuel Anavi. There was a generation that had Yiftach and Gidon. Yiftach and Gidon are viewed by Chazal as relatively unworthy people who were called upon to perform a task at a given time and were given great powers, spiritual powers, military powers, and we are obligated to honor Yiftach in his generation the way we honor Shmuel in his generation. Does that mean Yiftach is equal to Shmuel? Absolutely not. Okay. But Hashem looks around. Hashem says, okay, I need a messenger. I need an agent to do something. Who am I going to pick? Okay, he has some schus. I'm going to pick him, and I'm going to give him powers as are out of proportion to the schuyos that he has, to the merits that he has, and he's going to be my agent for this mitzvah, for this test needs to be done. That is Rav Dessler's explanation of Nebuchadnezzar. He also, just one last point, which actually is his first point. I said that he's talking about how Hashem gives Rishayim their reward in this world. He asked a question which I think we asked at one point in the Shir. If there's no reward for mitzvos in this world, how does Hashem reward Rishayim for mitzvos in this world? And the answer is, I think we might have said this at the time when this came up, but he says that the answer is that there's no reward in this world for a mitzvah done properly, a mitzvah done l'shem shamayim. The Rav Dessler himself in Chelek Aleph talks about he explains when the Gemara says there's no reward for mitzvahs in this world, it means this world's not big enough to hold a reward for mitzvahs. That's why. So how is it big enough to hold the reward of a Rasha? The answer is that a Rasha who does mitzvahs like Nebuchadnezzar, who did this mitzvah of running after the scribe, he did it for his own honor, So the world's big enough for a reward like that, of a mitzvah like that. It's mitzvahs that are done l'shem shamayim that this world's not big enough to hold the reward of. But there's room to Michtam Eliyahu, Rav Dessler, is in Chelek Hei, page 285. Have a good day.